Hello, Kevin.
Good morning.
Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
Kevin, you know what? I was thinking I'll get this out of the way quick. And, you know, Ross Neltner with the timeout. I can only imagine the next time you're in that situation in the huddle, knowing that you don't have any timeouts, that you're going to at least get a little chuckle out of the huddle when you say, guys, we have no timeouts left.
Well, we...
And you're going to look directly at Ross, aren't you?
Well, you know, things like that are just, I guess, are going to happen sometimes. I've never had that happen. And I told somebody, I was almost embarrassed at how many times we told them, you know, we kept saying we have no timeouts left, we have no timeouts left. And I thought, gosh, you know, we don't need to really keep saying that. And you don't know why something like that happens. And really, honestly, that is not what lost us the game. I mean, it really, there were 7 seconds to play. And
oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, the game, it wasn't over. We still had a chance, but that was not at all what cost us that game. And I felt badly for Ross, and it was just one of those, you know, moments, I guess. But that wasn't, you know, again, that was pretty easy to move past because that, in my opinion, that was not what cost us the game.
There's no doubt. I mean, no, you know, I said it in jest, but I just think, you know, yeah, everyone in their life has done a bonehead thing in sports. You know, every time I've jumped off sides or dropped an open pass, I just feel like the biggest idiot in the world, but you get over it.
No, exactly. And Ross happens to be one of our more, you know, he's one of our more intelligent players. So I don't think it will, I don't think that will, hopefully that won't happen again to us anytime soon. But you don't know why it happens, but it happened to us. And so I guess if it's going to happen once, it's good to get it behind us.
Kevin, talk about Mississippi State, how they're uniquely set up with Jarvis Bernardo, who's a prolific shot blocker. They've got Charles Rhodes inside, but also when Jamont Gordon is on, just how tough this team is to guard. And Gordon's been somewhat inconsistent the last 5 games, but when they've got it all together, you know, they've got everything.
Well, they really do, Mark. They've got shooters on the wings, and that kind of goes unnoticed, but Barry Stewart and Hansborough over there on the wings can really shoot the ball from deep. When, as you mentioned, when Gordon's shooting it well, now they have 3 really good perimeter shooters. Rhodes is as good as anybody in our league on the post when he gets the ball. He can score as well as anybody in the Southeastern Conference. And then they've got a guy who literally has as many block shots as any other team in the league in Southeastern Conference play. I think Bernardo has 70 blocks, and I think the next closest team has around 69 or 70. So it's an amazing statistic, but he's a terrific shot blocker, and it makes it very difficult to score easy baskets against them and baskets close to the goal. So their defensive field goal percentage is great. They're very good rebounders, and that's why they've won the Western Division. They're only a game behind Tennessee for the overall league championship.
Back earlier this hour, Barry Booker kind of compared Mississippi State's team this year to the LSU team of a couple years ago that made it to the Final Four, you know, comparing some of the parts, you know, here and there with Bernardo and Tyrus Thomas, you know, and so forth. Do you kind of agree with that assessment to a certain extent?
I do agree with that assessment because I think that there are a couple of pros on that team, and I think that any time you have a couple of guys that can play in the NBA, which I think they do, then it gives you a chance to go very, very deep into the tournament. I remember telling John Brady that I thought that team that he had a chance to make it to the Final Four, and he looked at me somewhat surprised at the time that I told it to him. But I think Mississippi State has a similar type of team like that LSU team. They don't have a great deal of depth. They don't play, you know, a lot of guys, a lot of minutes. But those 5 guys that they put out there are awfully good.
You got 1 of 16 from Jermaine Beal and Red Gordon in the Arkansas game, and still you almost won. Is that really one of your main areas of concern, is just consistency out of that guard tandem offensively? Because Shane seems to have been a lot more even in terms of his performance week to week. And when Ogilvie can stay out of foul trouble, by and large, you pretty much know what you're going to get with him.
Well, I thought that I thought aside from the play that we got from Red and Jermaine, quite honestly on both ends, not just in terms of scoring the ball, I thought our team took a step forward on Saturday, despite the fact that we lost. I thought AJ's play against a very talented front line of Arkansas, in which he was absolutely the best post player on the floor, was a very significant thing for us in a difficult environment. Yeah, we need to get consistent offensive play from everybody. You know, for a while Ross was playing inconsistently earlier in the season. Now Ross has kind of hit his stride. Shane had a little bit of a dip, but Shane's certainly been, you know, as consistent as anybody in the league all season long. And now with Red and Jermaine, you know, 2 games ago, Red goes 7 for 9 from three and he hasn't hardly scratched since. So we've got to get some consistency out of those guys if we're going to do what we want to do down the stretch here.
Kevin, we'll let you run on that. Best of luck tomorrow night against Mississippi State and in Alabama as you head into the final 2 games of this season.
I appreciate it. Thank you.